There we go, Joey. Now we're talking. Oh, we need some Guinness in here, and I am a happy, happy man. It's Brian Noonan in for Ro Kanaanenna. Devlante's on 720 WGN. Ro and Anna back on Monday. If you are Irish or even pretend to be, you know that Friday is St. Patrick's Day. The big parade and everything and the official celebration, I guess, started on Saturday, continues through Friday night, and you cannot have St. Patrick's Day in Chicago without the Shannon Rovers pipe band. Irish Pipe Band, and Bill McTeague is here. He is the director of the Shannon Rovers. And as I say every year, it is so great to see you, and thank you for coming in. It's one of the highlights of my year when you guys come by.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here and to share our St. Patrick's Day celebration with you.
So, all right, everybody should have heard of the Shannon Rovers.
But I hope so.
One of your distinctions is you have been the lead band for the Chicago St. Patrick's Day Parade for how many years?
Since they moved it downtown in 1955. Prior to that, there was three parades in Chicago. A number of years ago in the 20s, there were several, but they kind of died out during the war. After the war, there was three parades that developed in Chicago. One was on the south side on, I believe, 63rd Street, okay. One on the west side, and one up north. The west side went from St. Mel's and went over to Cicero Avenue.
Okay.
And in 1955, Mayor Daley brought them together into one downtown parade. And the Shannon Rovers led that parade. It marched from St. Patrick's Church,
okay,
eastbound on Adams, and ended at Michigan.
Oh, wow.
And then the second year, they moved it over to State Street.
Right.
And they went from State Street south. And then I'm not exactly sure that sometime in the 60s, about 63 or 64, they started dyeing the river green.
Yep, and you guys made it through it all. You've endured all the different mayors, and Grant, we know the Plumbers Union puts on the St. Patrick's
Absolutely,
Day Parade.
Absolutely, they do a fine job of it.
And but the Shannon Rovers are the mainstay, the rock. They start it all off. And has anybody ever dared even consider, well, let's start the
I wouldn't know anything
off.
About that.
No, why would they do that? That would be ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Absolutely, I think so.
So we know bagpipes, and people know snare drums and the big bass drum. What else is in the, what other types of instruments?
We have four basic sections, if you will. We have our pipe section. Mm-hmm. We have our side drum section. We have tenor drums and bass drums, which make a section.
Okay.
Then we have a color guard, a full nine-man kilted color guard.
Nice. And it's one of those things when people see it coming down. Well, first, you can hear it from wherever. You hear a bagpipe for how far a distance do you think you can hear a bagpipe on a good day?
Well, never having been on the other end, I would have to guess. But I have heard that you could hear them from one hilltop to the other in Scotland.
Well, see, and it's so you hear the Shannon Rovers coming well before you see them.
I believe that's
true. But once you see them coming up the street, you guys are an impressive lot. Give us a little history on the uniform.
Well, the uniform we wear now, in 1963, we adopted our present kilt in honor of after President Kennedy got killed in 1965. We changed from what was a black and white check to a modern Kennedy day wear tartan.
Okay.
And we proudly wore it ever since.
And that was the Kennedy's family, the Kennedy
family tartan?
This is
the Kennedy family tartan. In Scotland, they have basically a family would have three types of tartans, if you will. Mm-hmm. One would be day wear, one would be night wear, one would be formal wear.
Yeah.
And the one we wear is particularly modern Kennedy day wear.
Modern Kennedy day wear. And, of course, anybody who has a kilt has been asked this question a million times. What do you wear underneath it, Bill?
Shoes and socks.
There you go. Perfect answer. Shoes and socks. I get that all the time now when I have mine on. Oh, what are you wearing under there?
Shoes and socks.
That's what we wear under there. And is there a history with the jacket? It has a military sort of look to it.
That's it. The kilt, really, if you think about it, and you think about bagpipes in general, when you go back to the Egyptians and you go back to the Romans, they were led by pipers.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about pipers in the Bible. And any country that ever had shepherding developed a bagpipe.
Okay.
They were mostly individual instruments. And what we basically wear is a military-style uniform. It's basically a cut-down toga.
Oh, okay.
And it's called a battle kilt.
Yeah.
Originally. And if you look at all of the Roman gladiator movies, they are all wearing battle kilts.
Yeah.
And they're made of leather in that case with some metal protection and spots. But they are wearing kilts also. And when the English nationalized the armies in the late 1800s, and they brought all the different regiments together, each regiment brought its own pipers, and being the Army, they had to do things one way, so they made pipe bands out of them. Ah. And that was really the first formal pipe band. Before that, it was a gathering of pipers, and they would all make their own instrument, develop their own instrument, and they might not even sound that good together because they'd be different scales at times.
And people, I mean, people think, and mistakenly so, all bagpipes are the same. All bagpipes are not the same.
All bagpipes are not the same. Even from different bagpipe makers, you could have slightly sharper, slightly flatter scales. And there's over 220 that I've been aware of types of bagpipes.
That Greek, seems excessive.
It is. But when you think about every little nook and cranny that developed shepherding,
right,
developed a bagpipe.
Wow. So traditionally, what was the bag in the bagpipe? Was it like a sheep bladder?
It was a hide. Okay. What would happen is the kid, from the time the kids were old enough to not fall off the face of the mountain until they were old enough to work in the field, they would send them with the lambs and the sheep up to the highlands.
Okay.
And they would birth the lambs in the spring. They'd sit them all summer, watch them so they didn't get eaten by wolves and roam away. And they would just sit there all summer, so they would take a reed and cut it and make a little flute, and they'd get tired of blowing on it, so they'd take a hide, and so they'd have constant air supply and could make constant music, and they'd get tired of that, so they'd add another one up top to make a droning sound and make a chord, and they'd go as many as 1 to 9 different drones on different types of bagpipes.
Unbelievable. So what kind of pipe are you going to play for
us today? This particular instrument is made by Hari, and it's a Henderson model.
Okay.
Henderson is one of the old pipe makers that became famous in the early 1900s. It's Peter Henderson, and it's the Great Highland Bagpipe, the one that most people know as the bagpipe, the one played by the same regiments in the Scots Guard and the Queen's Own.
Well, it's beautiful being up close to it. It's the beautiful detail on the pipes.
It is. The drones are all combed, and the caps are made of etched silver. And often, this one doesn't, but often the pipes will be adorned with ivory or adorned with silver.
Very nice. All right, I'll let you get set up, and we're going to hear, what are we going to hear first?
We'll start with a nice little Irish jig, Sean South.
Perfect. All right, this is Bill McTeague. He is with the Shannon Rovers. ShannonRovers.com is, of course, where you get all the information about the Rovers. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, he's all ready. Very nice. Very nice. Now, I'm going to stop that. We were live on Facebook, if you wanted to see that. Joey, we'll get some of this up there. We'll podcast it as well. So I'm imagining, I'm not imagining. I know for a fact. You guys started the parade on Saturday, so Saturday must have been a crazy busy day. First of all, how many members are there in the Shannon Rovers?
We put 75 people on the street St. Patrick's Day.
75.
At the parade, and there was four of our senior members that joined us afterward that just don't do the parades anymore.
Okay.
So we had 79 people out Saturday.
Wow. And so then the parade ends, and I'm sure you guys had a million different gigs that day.
We did. Actually, a lot of my people are a little bit mad at me because I really worked them.
Well, listen.
We did 73 shows Saturday.
73 shows.
Most of the day we were doing 6 shows at the same time with 6 different groups.
So how many people in each group? Because I can't do math, Bill.
Each group would be made up of somewhere between 4, 5, 6 pipers and a couple of snare drummers and a bass, too.
Wow.
Our largest group that was set together had 12 pipers and 3 sides and a bass.
Wow.
And they would go from place to place. And actually, we would develop a system where we have a bus for each group. And it works extremely well.
And when you go into, when you have all these places you have to be, do you come in and do 1 or 2 numbers? How long do you usually stay?
I'd say the average floor time is probably 17 to 22 minutes.
Okay.
Bagpipes is the type of entertainment that to be honest, it's ancillary. Nobody wants to sit there and listen to bagpipes for 3 hours.
Yeah,
and
you're probably
you would have
right.
entertainment, and you want to make it a little bit special, so you have a guest appearance.
Yeah.
And we would be that little rah, 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 big shot guest appearance.
Yeah, you come in, and people are like, oh, my gosh, they're here, and you do
right,
a few things.
Come marching into the room, do our thing for 17 to 22 minutes, then come marching out, and It's the wow factor, as I like to say.
Well, it is definitely the wow factor. We'll hear another bagpipe tune. We'll also find out where you guys are going to be, because St. Patrick's Day hasn't even happened yet.
No, it hasn't.
So we'll find out how busy you're going to be on Friday. If you are interested in having the Shannon Rovers at your affair, if you want to find out where they are, shannonrovers.com is the website. Brian Noonan in for Ro Kahn, DeVellante's Mark Sapulsa joins us after 6 o'clock in the studio. Bill McTighe, he is the band manager for the Shannon Rovers Irish Pipe Band, who have been very, very busy for many, many decades. But this week especially, you told us you had 75 people out, 79 people on the street on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You were running them ragged as the hard-driving band manager. I can only imagine what's coming up on Friday.
Friday, we're sitting right now at about 59. So
59
they're
going to
be busy again Friday.
And how many shows on Friday?
59.
59. Oh, 59 shows. I thought you meant 59 players.
No, all 75 will be out again.
Wow. 59 shows all over the city. You're going to be bussing them around. What, like, from what time to what time?
The earliest one is at 7:45 in the morning.
Okay.
And the latest one is at 10 o'clock at night. So it's a full day.
Full day. That sounds like a lot more than a full day.
But then we kind of added some insanity to it this year. On Saturday morning at 7:25, there's 55 of us going to Boston to do the parade on Sunday.
Wow. Now, see, and I was asking you about this because you said you were leaving Saturday for the parade on Sunday. I was not aware that Boston did their parade after.
I wasn't either. I discovered this back in July, and I started looking into it, the feasibility.
Yeah.
And then I looked at our schedule here and how things would fall. And, excuse me, it worked out pretty good. Every once in a while, we like to do a little travel, kind of like it's a team building thing, and it's kind of a reward for my people for working so hard.
Nice.
So if we don't kill ourselves on Friday, we're going to try to kill ourselves on Sunday.
Wow, that's insane. And this is this a full-time? It's probably a full-time job for you, but not for everybody.
This is a hobby.
So all these people who will be jetting out to Boston for the parade on Sunday, they've got to come back, go to regular jobs on
Monday or Tuesday? They do, and there's the reason we're only going with 55 is there was a number of them that just couldn't get off of work.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, it is. It's always, always fun to see you guys. Are you going to be, now I know you do some private things on St. Patrick's Day. People can go to shannonrovers.com, and will you have the whole list of where you're going to be?
We do. We should have a list up there. Katie put one up today.
Okay.
But to give you an idea, some of the places we'll be playing downtown, we'll be at Emmett's a couple times. We'll be over at Dugan's over on Halstead Street. Downtown, we'll be at Elephant and Castle.
Oh, nice.
In the evening, we'll be at Kitty O'Shea's and the Hilton. I'm trying to run this off from memory what the public ones are.
Well, that's pretty good.
We'll be through the Gibson chain restaurants,
okay,
both for lunch and for dinner. We'll be then on the south side, we'll be at Fox's Pizza, all four of them,
okay,
in Orlin and in Oak Lawn and in...
is it Mokina?
Mokina and Beverly.
Okay.
And, I will be in Conley's out in Oak Park.
Well, good luck. You are going to be busy.
Yes.
And I'm going to make you play one more thing for us. Bill McTighe is the band manager for the Shannon Rovers. Let's hear one more. What do we got here? Another jig?
A jig.
All right. Very nice. Bill McTighe, the Shannon Rovers, if you get a chance to see them anywhere, anytime, but especially over St. Patrick's Day, you have to do it. Bill, thanks again. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Sláinte, we're very always exciting to see you.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and all of your guests.
And don't work your people too hard, or at least give them next week off.
Believe me, we have a little fun doing it.
I can only imagine.